Hi and welcome to Matrix Moments. This is Saloni and on today's episode we have Chirag Taneja, co-founder of GoQuick, in conversation with Rajat Agarwal and Sarthak Malhotra from the Matrix team. GoQuick is an e-commerce enablement company on a mission to democratize the online shopping experience and increase GMV realization for e-commerce businesses. They aim to solve for hard-hitting problems like return to origin as well as better cash on delivery conversion rate for e-commerce players, including D2C brands. Through this episode, we discuss the growing need for a one-click checkout product such as GoQuick, what led Chirag to start this company, the early traction received, and much more. Tune in.
Hi, everyone. This is Rajat here from Matrix Partners. Welcome to Matrix Moments. Very happy to be here with Chirag, founder of GoQuick, and my colleague Sarthak. At Matrix, I lead our consumer internet and fintech investments. And today's founder, Chirag, actually cuts right in the middle of both consumer internet and fintech. So very happy to be here. Also grateful that we could do this in person. We are all vaccinated, and but very thankful that we've got this window of opportunity to do this. So thank you, Chirag, for joining us today, and Sarthak. Let me kick off this session. So Chirag, you've actually started a company before. It was an AI startup. You've been a banker back in the day. You've done financial services. And you worked at a consumer brand. GoQuick, one of the hottest startups over the last year. We've been lucky to be in your cap table. It's in the middle of all of this, right? Everything's coming together. So maybe if you can just talk a little bit about what is GoQuick, what are you trying to build? What was the genesis of the idea? I think that'll be super helpful to understand.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I think likewise pleasure is for me as well. You're right, so starting from, post-MBA, did banking for 5 years. Then post that, realized want to be in startups, want to solve some real life problems. Moved on to do food tech AI based company. Thought that, what to eat is a very high frequency use case. Solved that using technology, ran that company for 3 years. Then moved to a consumer brand, Bombay Shaving Company. Ran that for, almost 2.5 years. And now third startup, and I would say probably the only good thing has happened because of COVID. Otherwise, mostly it has been not so good. But largely the boom which we saw in e-commerce, and there were certain problem statements which I could see while running, a direct-to-consumer brand. That is what led to GoQuick. And, as it is said that probably, as you rightly put it, three things have come together. So some amount of fintech, some amount of knowledge about how consumer brands are played out, how direct to consumer is going to do, how e-commerce is going to play out, which is what has resulted into GoQuick. So at GoQuick, largely we're trying to solve some very interesting problems, but from a vision standpoint, we're saying, can we provide or can we democratize shopping experience across the Amazon versus non-Amazon world? That's largely what we're trying to solve. And of course, there are a bunch of plethora of problem statements which you're going after.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, you're essentially providing the same shopping experience to consumers on any merchant website, which they could potentially get on Amazon, or at least from a checkout perspective, the same experience that they could get. And all other merchant problems related to that, broadly related to checkout.
Yeah, you're right. So while, payments or checkouts is one of the things which we have started with, the idea is that, right from, if you look at the e-commerce funnel, discovery, selection, conversion, retention, there are problems across the funnel. And the way to look at it is that Amazon today gets conversion rates, let's say, in excess of 9%. 9-10%. Mm-hmm. Our world, the non-Amazon, non-Flipkart world, I like to call that our world, that gets at best 3-3.5%.
Yeah, and that's also like best in class.
Best in class, right? So how do you bridge that?
Yeah.
And if you don't bridge that, even if we are super class, let's say in marketing, you can't just make up for that.
Sure.
So, and checkout is probably one of the things which come in that play.
Yeah.
So, you know, probably that's, you know, an important, of course, an important thing in the funnel and is also hot today. But I see a lot of other things which are broken, which we want to solve. That is how we are approaching it.
Super. So we'll come to that. Sarthak, you know, there's a lot happening in the in this overall merchant ecosystem globally. Checkout, of course, lots happening with Bolt becoming a $4 billion company recently. You've been championing this at Matrix for a while. I remember more than a year and a half ago, it was the first time you started talking about, you know, there is something in this checkout space that or overall merchant ecosystem space. Can you talk about, you know, from your vantage point, what you saw or are seeing? And also, how did you find Chirag? Right? That, that was also a very, very interesting story.
Sure. No, I think the first time I came across the whole checkout side of things when I saw Stripe leading an investment in Bolt, in Fast. And I was very fascinated what this is, right? And then I found myself shopping across a bunch of merchants, right? Like consumer brands, some in our portfolio as well, right? And I realized every time I have to go and create an account, I have to go to the payments page, and you know, I just thought it's just like a pain. But when I spoke to a bunch of people in our portfolio, right, we invest in a lot of consumer brands, and we realized that this is leading to, as Chirag was saying, a conversion problem, right? People just drop off, people just don't want to fill in all the details again and again and just leave from there. So it really kind of occurred to me that this is a solution with the explosion of D2C brands, right? And we've really been kind of been partners with so many consumer brands in our at Matrix. So I thought this seems like a real problem. And when I was speaking to some of the folks in the ecosystem, right? So Shantanu at Bombay Shaving Company is a very good friend of mine. And I just messaged him randomly one day saying, how's it going? I just want to like get your thoughts on, you know, the checkout. And he said, oh, are you meeting Chirag? And that's how, I was like, who is Chirag? And that is literally how I found Chirag. And incidentally, I figured out that we've actually spoken to Chirag for his previous startup as well. And that's how I got in touch with Chirag. And yeah, and that's that was the start of this amazing journey.
And you made us chase you quite a bit, I think. This was September last year?
Yeah,
we first heard
August
about
to
August, September
to
last
like
year.
Like November, December, we were just... Really, Chirag was like, I'm building the product, please, let's talk once the product is out.
Probably I didn't have the foresight which Sarthak had. He's saying he started, he had a thesis 18 months back.
Yeah.
I probably was still building the thesis. So I said that, okay, let's wait it out.
Yeah. No, it was actually remarkable for us also to see a confluence of market, our own belief, great founder, all coming together. And that's why I think... it was a no-brainer when we met you to, you know, just invest. So, but Sarthak, again on globally, if you look at this space, right, obviously a lot has happened. Amazon, if you look at the Amazon ecosystem, or if you look at even Europe, there's the BNPL players, buy now, pay later players coming at this space. Amazon itself back in the day used to have a you know, solution which with the, you know, Amazon checkout used to go to other
PayPal
websites.
had a similar one
as well. So and maybe a question to both of you, what's happening now in India that you know, something similar could happen now in India? Why is this the right time?
No, I think I can start, and I think Chirag obviously knows a lot. I think for me it was just the explosion of people beyond Amazon and Flipkart, right? Like in our early days, we were all shopping on Amazon, Flipkart, probably Nykaa and one of the other, a couple of other marketplaces, right? Yeah. But in the last few months or years, at least I have came back to India and I realized, you know, you were buying from so many different merchants that is just not easy to like create an account. At least that was like a personal customer problem that I saw. But Chirag, probably you can talk more about this one.
You're right. I think at least the way I have seen it is India is a very, very heterogeneous country. And even if, let's say, Amazon, Flipkart want to serve all these kind of consumers, it's very difficult. Varying needs, different kind of customer profiles. Hence, India definitely will have a very, very large chunk of non-Amazon, non-Flipkart. And that is the bedrock of, you know, what we are building. And we believe that at least we play a very significant, or players like us play a very significant role in ensuring the non-Amazon, non-Flipkart thrives.
Yeah.
Right, so I would say more than, you know, building out products, etc., which we're doing, we have a larger responsibility that by building this, the shopping GMV grows on the non-Amazon, sure, non-Flipkart world. Otherwise, people have to still go to offline. Yeah. Amazon will not be able to service, you know, imagine, you know, brands which are we are buying today, Sugar, Neiman's, how will we, you know, discover? Mostly you'll have to go offline.
Yeah. Right?
So I look at it from that point of view.
Yeah. No, that's a very interesting point. And I guess you were talking about how COVID has been an accelerant. All these offline brands have just come online like very, very fast. And I know a bunch of them are also your customers now that are beginning to, like, traditional offline players are coming. So can you talk about more about that, as in what's happening over there?
So you are right. So if I go back to, let's say, last year, April, May of, you know, when so people were just thinking whether we should do online. It was probably an option.
Hmm.
Post-COVID, I think everyone realized it's no more an option. It's a mandate now, you have to do. And that is what we have seen, you know, now Nike coming out and saying the direct to consumer is going to be their most focused channel.
Yeah.
I was speaking to some other, you know, enabling e-commerce companies, founders. They're also saying that they're hearing the same thing from offline players, that they want to make D2C as their largest channel.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of push which has happened in that last 12 months, from being a non-believer, yeah, to a believer, and to being that this is the largest channel. So which is a, you know, a spectrum of a jump.
Yeah.
And Chirag, you launched in January this year, right? Like, we were chasing you, but I think you went live with the first brand in January, right? So how has merchants responded to GoQuick, and how what's been the feedback till now?
I think the response has been unprecedented, I would say very good. Largely, it has been that way because we're solving some real problems, and also supported by, because I have been on the other side, I've worn the same hat. So I realize that which problems are actually pinching pain points and which are not, which can be solved by merchants themselves, which cannot be solved by them. And hence, we have gone out solving some very difficult problems, largely from, you know, which require deep tech, deep data science expertise, and gone out and solved them, and has seen very good traction, grown 50x in the last 6-7 months. So, and continue to grow on that pace, I think. Continue to solve some of these difficult problems as we move ahead.
Yeah. And Rajat, you've been one of the first investors in Razorpay as well, and seen that journey very closely. How do you compare their journey with what GoQuick is going through?
No, I think, you know, there are two, three. It's actually very similar. We were lucky to be seed investors in Razorpay back in 2015. I think two, three things are very similar. One is the product focus. Razorpay is just known to be a product company. And I think whatever we've seen at GoQuick so far has just been, you know, the focus on product, and almost like a no-brainer product for merchants to start with is just very similar. Second is timing, right? Like we've chatted about how, you know, this seems like a very good time to build a company like this in India, which was similar in the case of Razorpay as well, where, you know, e-commerce was just taking off. Now e-commerce has taken off, and but the problems, there are next level problems. Earlier payments was a big problem to solve for. Payments, success rates, all of that. Now different types of problems for conversion rates, which are potentially harder to solve for, but still very relevant. And because of this timing and a no-brainer product or go-to-market, both companies have taken off, right? So even back then, I remember it started with lots of smaller merchants who would just sign up. I think in your journey as well, it started with some smaller merchants, but very soon came the mid-tier or mid-market. And within a couple of years, the enterprise customers also came. So we're seeing some version of that. Probably it's a little bit more even accelerated now, that I think some of the largest D2C brands are also coming to the platform now.
So we have almost some very large ones signed up, going live. So Mama Earth is there, Man Matters is there. recently have signed up Boat, Noise. Yeah. So we're seeing traction. And while what you're commenting, I think great, admiration for what Razorpay has built out.
Yeah.
I think fantastic company. Just that, a lot of people ask me that because we've just started out solving some of the, at least the payment pain point. But I think we are very, very focused in terms of building out a e-commerce conversion rate company.
Yep.
And I believe that e-commerce is much, much greater than payments.
Sure.
A lot of the funnel problems are there. So, and if you look at it from a building a company point of view also, I think if I were building a payments company, it is built for very, very large scale. Hence the DNA becomes very different.
Yep.
E-commerce conversion rate company is very, very data science heavy company. And, in our company, if you ask someone that, how many people will move from add to cart to this, and the specialization in A-B testings,
sure.
those become core DNAs for us.
And Chirag, so I know people like Fast and Bolt also solve the fraud problem in some shape or form, the chargeback fraud in the US. That problem obviously doesn't exist in India because of 2FA.
Yeah.
Are there any India-specific nuances that you have built into the product, or any India-specific problems that you're touching with GoQuick?
Yeah, of course. I think we are doing a very, very India-specific solution play. What we realized was that India is a heavy cash-on-delivery market, has an underlying risk statement, which is difficult to solve, mostly centered around the consumer. So we're solving that through building out a very proprietary, data science risk models to solve for that. Very specific problem to India, and you're right that the chargeback fraud problem doesn't exist in India. That's, I think, very, very specific to India. In fact, we're doing some amount of problem solving on the UPI part as well, in terms of solving it more from an e-commerce lens point of view rather than not from a payments point of view. Solving for merchants in terms of how does their conversion rate look from a UPI point of view? How can they increase prepaids through us? That's how we're looking at it.
Got it.
So on this India-specific problem of, you alluded to this returns RTO problem, how do you even solve for that? Right? Isn't this Flipkart's tried to do some of this? Can you actually solve for it? The skeptics will say this can never be solved.
That is where startups are born, right? Typically, people would say these are not to be solved.
Yeah.
We look at US, Square said that they wanted to build out credit cards for people who can't afford.
Hmm.
So I think that is where the opportunity lies.
Hmm.
And the way at least we have looked at it is that the problem, I would say cannot be brought down to 0%. And hence our business model is also made that way, that we don't want to get it down to zero.
Sure.
But at least there are certain, fraudulent elements of RTO percentages that we want to solve for. At least we want to make people aware that this results in so much amount of losses, leads to carbon footprints, some of those, environmental damages, etc., which people are not aware about today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we believe that from an industry perspective, this can be definitely be brought down by at least 35-40%. Which
huge.
Is a significant number, right? You can imagine
25-30%
of all COD transactions become RTO. Okay.
Yeah, it's just massive.
Massive.
Yeah. And if you add returns on top, which is also a large problem, it's like apparel companies, 30-40% is just returns plus an RTO maybe a little bit on top.
And these have to be solved because otherwise, unit economics for such companies will never make sense.
Yeah, yeah. And to your point, there are a lot of these, once these traditional guys are also coming online, they just can't solve it themselves. And guess what? Probably the largest chunk of commerce is still with them.
I think skeptics will probably also say that, I also used to think about it sometimes that, isn't this consumer brand a very, very tiny sliver of the market? But I think you've shown that it's just not those that are using GoQuick. Can you just talk about people beyond consumer brands who have just picked up GoQuick and how that response has been?
Like any consumer marketplace, how is this relevant even for them?
Yeah, so we saw, one of the large marketplaces, LimeRoad, starting to use our solution. Some of the offline brands, in fact, now we're seeing some of the grocery brands also, new age grocery brands starting to use us. For different use cases, we've evolved to them. So that's happening, and I can tell you that we are in active discussions with 4 or 5 large marketplaces, and hopeful that, you know, they should get converted and we should go live in the next quarter also. And largely, you know, to your point, that we realize that anyone who even has the wherewithal to, you know, go out and solve for it, let's say a vertical marketplace will only have data with respect to only their vertical.
Correct.
Whereas solving for such a problem, you require network data. Right. So a Flipkart or an Amazon can solve for themselves because they have this network of data across categories. You would want someone to come in and then solve for this network.
Sure.
That's how we are approaching it as a problem.
Sure.
Got it. So Chirag, you've also, I think, touched upon a few things that have, you know, COD, RTO, UPI, conversion funnels, right? Like, there are 2 or 3 products live today. Can you give us a glimpse of what's coming in future? What are you trying to build in the next 2 to 3 years or like 5 years? What's that vision?
That's an interesting, I would say, and a tough one also. So
we discuss it in the board meetings every time. So.
Yeah, we are. I would say we are in a very, very interesting juncture wherein, you know, there is on one way, there is a trend which is booming is fintech. One is e-commerce, non-Amazon, non-Flipkart world is booming. Offline to online is a channel which is itself is a booming channel. So I would say that, you know, one axis which we would like to at least think about it is that go deeper with merchants, continue to solve their problems, which relate to our vision of that, you know, we want to increase shopper GMV, whether it is in form of available capital, getting them the right capital at the right cost, that also helps them increase GMV or improving conversion rates. That's what we will typically continue to focus on. While we also realize that there are opportunities in terms of building a lot of other stuff on Shopify. So a Shopify can itself become an independently large company. That's one axis. And then of course, you know, later on, you know, there are certain consumer aspects which you might look at in very, very long term. But typically we want to build out a company which is very merchant focused, want to always play, you know, for the merchant, root for their success. That is what we are building for.
Super. And then, as you said, there were adjacencies on the consumer side, which we may get to at some point of time. But focus is on merchant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Chirag, you also, I think, just switching gears to how you built your team, right? And team is obviously both co-founders, employees, and hopefully us as well. How do you think about, you've been very thoughtful about it. So how do you think about, what do you look for when you were getting your co-founders or when you were choosing between investors or choosing when you're getting some employees? Can you just give a little bit of flavor there?
Okay. So at least I didn't want to do mistakes which I had seen other people do or I had done myself. So at least I wanted to make some fresh mistakes. So I thought at least...
That's why he got us.
So I think both Vivek and Ankush, I think we realized that we want to build out a core tech data science company. Hence, wanted to have co-founders who have this deep expertise, have done a lot of work there. So Vivek and Ankush, Vivek who's CTO and Ankush who's heads data science, has done extensive work on, you know, both the fields. Ankush has worked a lot on data science, decision making with Flipkart, American Express, Ogilvy. So bunch of different problem statements. I think that's why he's there. Vivek is there because he's worked on probably 10x scale of what payments would do. He's built a large company in ad tech. So that is why he fit the criteria. And of course, I wanted to bring in people more for their professional expertise than being friends. So tough call, but I think I realized that it's easier to do with people who we know that will contribute to the company. If they happen to be friends, it's great.
Sure.
And now I think we are all friends. We know each other for a while now. So that's how we've been going about it.
Yeah.
At least in my head, there is some structure. I don't know whether there is.
Yeah. And even for your angel investors, I remember back in the day, you were very thoughtful about who to bring on as an angel investor. How did you make that choice?
I think so. Some of that happened automatically. So Revant and Varun, they loved what we were building, hence they joined in. And Jiten, of course, you know, was a guiding force in terms of, you know, when I went to him about GTM, he said that, you know, if or the first GTM, he said that I should work more. Similar response was by Amit Lakhoti also. So he said, Nitin, I had heard a lot about from fellow co-founders that he's of great help, and he has been of truly of great help. Utsav, I would say, he has been a day one believer in what we're building. So a one phone call and he was blown away with what we're building. So he's the day one believer. I think I would say probably, at least in this case, things have worked for us more than being thoughtful here. I think people have liked what we're building. They see that there is an opportunity, and I think off late, Anurag has been of super help, a OneCard founder. I think he has been of super help to me.
Yeah, and it's, I think a lot of them run consumer brands like Revant runs Mosaic.
Varun runs
Mamaearth. Yeah, and there are others as well, right? Other consumer brand, obviously, Shantanu.
Shantanu is there.
So yeah, I think that's, did they, has Mamaearth gone live? Yeah, you said they have, yeah. That's great.
Maybe this part Varun should definitely hear.
Yes. absolutely. And Chirag, from a team building perspective also, you've taken this call that you will build a remote first company, at least to start with. How did that happen and how has that played out so far?
So I think in our case, it's a little unique that the company itself was born during COVID. So we've never seen an office. most of the recruitments have happened on Zoom. In fact, our rounds have happened on Zoom. So you can imagine, probably that's the way we've seen this company, right? So it's,
I think our Delhi office is de facto office.
You've been to our Delhi office more.
Yeah. So it's, I would say it's probably a little easier for a company which was born during the pandemic than if people had history of coming to office. For us, it is, I would say people have never felt the need that, you know, they need an office to be more productive. Of course, there is a need to, you know, be at the office, have more chemistry, alignment of thoughts. That's there. And at least I have had a personal belief that there is going to be, this trend is secular now. People are going to work remotely or work from anywhere. And great people will work for companies which are remote because it gives you more freedom. Hence, my view is that in 5 years, there will be delta in those companies also. Yeah. In terms of talent. So that's my thesis. I'm playing to that thesis.
I think you should let Avnish know that as well.
Yeah, I really wanted to work from the mountains, but here am I. Great. I think just to wrap it up, any other thoughts for you know, our viewers, for people who want to start up in the consumer brand space or in the fintech side of things? Any parting thoughts for them?
I would say Matrix has been a great partner. It's a, I would say it's been a, what, 6 month journey. So it's still the start, but I think the way we've worked together as a team, I think that's commendable. So it's not a very, very formal relationship wherein you're an investor, we are a founder. I think that I would say we are blessed to have you, you know, on the cap table and work along with us in building this company.
Feeling is mutual, boss.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now, with that, we come to an end of this episode. Thank you so much, Chirag. It's always a pleasure chatting with you, and we'll continue. Hopefully, we'll continue to live up to your expectations.
Same here.
Thanks for tuning in. For more Matrix Moments episodes, you can head to www.matrixpartners.in/blog. You can also follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for more updates.